Good morning, brothers and sisters. As is our great tradition at the last Sunday of every liturgical year, happens to be today, we celebrate the great solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. Not just the King of St. Dorothy's or of the Diocese of Charlotte, not even just the King of North Carolina or the United States or the world, the King of the universe. And yet when we look at the world around us, it doesn't really look like Jesus is king. It doesn't look like the Prince of Peace is ruling in the world. What is the nature of his kingship? Well, we know from Revelations that Jesus' kingship would not be fully established until he comes again in glory. This is why we celebrate this feast day as the last day of the liturgical year, the last Sunday. Because we have to wait until the end of time, when he comes on the clouds of heaven, for his kingship to be totally established on earth. Right now, as the Word of God teaches us, Satan still is the prince of this earth. He still rules this world for the most part. But the kingdom of God, as we know it, is among us. Jesus said that it's already among you. It's just hidden. And where is it hidden, according to the fathers of the church? It's hidden in the hearts of believers. It's those members who make up the body of Christ, those baptized individuals who have come to follow the Lord, who have become members of his kingdom, sheep in his flock. And that's the type of king that he is. He's a shepherd king. Unlike the kings of this world or the rulers of this world who like to use their power for their own glory and good, to dominate others with it, Jesus is the servant king, the shepherd king who sacrifices himself for his sheep. And in our first reading today from the prophet Ezekiel, we hear this beautiful expression of his love for us, his sheep, the sheep of his flock. This is how he cares for his sheep. First, we know that he pastures them. What does this mean? Is he takes them out to the nice grassy fields and makes sure that they are well fed. But Jesus doesn't pasture his sheep with merely grass. He feeds them with his body in the Eucharist. That's the kind of shepherd he is. And whenever one of his sheep becomes lost, Jesus himself seeks them out. He doesn't just send a servant. He goes himself to find them. This is revealed by the very nature of his incarnation. He did not just send the prophets to preach the truth. He came himself from heaven to seek and to find those who were lost. We hear that the strayed he brings back. He carries them back on his own shoulders. He doesn't just bring along a cart, put the lost sheep in the cart and drag them back. No, he picks them up, lays them on his shoulders, and he carries them back to the flock. We see that in his crucifixion when he carried the cross. We are that cross when we wander from him. And he willingly takes us up and brings us home again. The injured, he binds up, and the sick, he heals. He's the divine physician. He's the one who takes us in our woundedness after he has brought us home, and he bandages us, and he heals us. And how does he do that? Through the sacrament of reconciliation. He forgives our sins, and he restores us to health and holiness. From his suffering and his death on the cross and his resurrection. In all of this, Jesus shows us that he is truly the good shepherd. And this is the type of kingdom that he desires to reign in this world and ultimately in our hearts. When he comes again in glory, that kingdom will be fully established over all peoples. We've heard that in previous weeks in the gospel. Remember, Jesus speaks about this kingdom of heaven where there's this king who goes off to conquer a foreign nation, and those who don't subject themselves to him, what does he do? He crushes them, he destroys them, he kills them all. He says, you serve me or you die. I'm the King of Kings. You don't have a choice. It's salvation or damnation. Those are your options. What's interesting in our gospel today is Jesus gives us the nature of judgment that he will make on his flock. And it's important that we realize the distinction between how Jesus judges the members of his flock and how he judges the nations who are not Christian, the unbaptized, those who have not accepted him. According to our Lord's own teachings, as are clearly explained by the saints and fathers, unless one is a member of the kingdom of heaven, unless one is baptized and saved by Christ, they're lost. That's it. Unless they come to Jesus, there is no salvation. But just because one is a member of the flock, just because one is baptized, doesn't mean their salvation is assured. Jesus tells us that he will separate from his own flock the sheep from the goats. And what's the difference, according to our Lord? And again, we're assuming that these sheep are ones who are trying to follow him, or at least claim to follow him. The difference for our Lord is those who have loved and those who have not. And our Lord decides how he judges love. It's easy for each one of us individually as sheep to say, well, I'm doing my best to love. Or I think, I'm loving. This is the way I love. No, we love the way he loves. Or we don't love at all. And how does he tell us to love? He says, you care for the weak and the wounded, the poor and the needy, the little and the rejected. If you see someone hungry, you feed them. Naked, you clothe them. Ill or in prison, you visit them. Ignorant, you educate them. And this is not only the poor and destitute that we see on the street, but these even include your children at home. These are the little ones that God wants you to care for. You have to make sure they're clothed, otherwise they go to school naked. They get hungry a lot, you have to feed them. They're ignorant, you must educate them. They fall into these categories. And many of you may be aware of the words of Saint Mother Teresa, Saint Teresa of Calcutta. She said once that the United States of America does not have real poverty. And what she meant by that was, we don't have physically poor people in this country, not really. Not like India, not like Brazil, not like many other countries in the world where people are truly starving to death on the side of the road. We're such a wealthy nation, even our poor typically are well fed. That doesn't mean there aren't poor people. It's just not what she called real poverty, and she would know. However, she did say that the poor in the United States of America are the spiritually poor, the emotionally poor and destitute. And so we can do better to reach out to them. And that's often the case in wealthy nations throughout all of history. Again, even their kindness and gentleness are a way of feeding and nourishing another person. Regardless, this is the way that Jesus will judge those who are Christian, those who are baptized and members of his flock. And he will separate us one from another. Now, without his grace and strength, none of us are able to love as he calls us to love, as he witnesses to us, as he loves us. And that brings us to an understandable concern that many of us have with more upcoming lockdowns. All you have to do is think back to what happened last time when church was closed, you couldn't go to Mass, couldn't get to confession. And all of you, in one way or another, I'm sure, didn't do really well spiritually during that time. What you found was the longer it went, the harder it got to love, the more challenging. You lost patience more easily. It was harder to keep up with your daily prayers. Why? Because you are away from our Lord's grace and his sacraments. We need the sacraments. Without them, without the life of Christ alive within us, without the kingdom of heaven being nourished within us, we cannot follow the Lord. And I don't know what's going to happen in that regard, what the governor will say, or even what Bishop Jugas will say. However, I have no intention at this time, no intention to stop celebrating public mass, to stop hearing confessions. We'll take it one day at a time. But I have no intention, unless I'm forced to do so. Because you need the sacraments, you need the grace of Christ. We all do. And if Jesus is truly the King, then he sets the rules. It is he who said, you gather together on Sunday, and you offer my holy sacrifice, and you worship me, and I nourish you. It is he who said, when you commit serious sin, you come to the priest and confess those sins, and he will absolve you. These are necessities. They're not optional. We need them, regardless of what physical dangers may come, whether that's the risk of sickness or the risk of prosecution. We have to realize that the kingdom of heaven is more important than any other kingdom. And Christ's kingship, his authority, needs to be first in our mind and in our heart. We should be more concerned for the sake of our souls and our salvation than any concern we have of the flesh. Because when the flesh gives out, when we die, these are the words we want to hear from Christ. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.